This is the good news that Jesus has to share and came to share. Our God is a God of forgiveness. Our God is a God of life. Let us be assured that God does not hold our sins against us, but washes us in his mighty river of love. Amen. Our first scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as one who would scatter seeds on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seeds would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, and then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." And our second reading today, from the epistle, the letter, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 9 and 14 to 15. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was risen for them. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Holy God, you are called to be our rock, our redeemer, our strength. As we come to this scripture this day, be with us. Be in our thoughts and our minds and guide us. Help us to reconcile that call to be of your body and with you. Help us to know how to make our home here and yet make that home temporary. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I first entered the church, I was unsure. I grew up in a time when negative messages of the church, its followers, and what was perceived as a lack of critical thought within the walls of this institution had started to flourish and find their way into mainstream media. And yet, since I was a child, I felt an urge and a tug to explore, to know more, to be part of the church. I was invited to a weekend retreat at the University of Calgary by the chaplain there. And though I was nervous about getting in a vehicle, driving an hour and a half away, not having any way back on my own, I found myself saying yes to his invitation. And it was there that I was first introduced to the labyrinth. For those who don't know, the labyrinth is not a maze, but an ancient spiritual practice. It's like a pilgrimage, where you don't actually go anywhere, but you take a journey on a single path that leads into the center and then back out. There's no way to get lost. One of the ways to use the labyrinth is for discernment, and that's how it was introduced to me. And in this way, you hold the idea that as you walk in, you hold out your heart and your questions to God. You walk slowly and contemplatively through the path into the center of the circle. In this way, you are preparing yourself, preparing to listen to God. And once you get to that center, that safe little womb, you stop and seek communion with the Holy Spirit. You listen, paying attention for God moving, for God's response to your question. You can stay there as long as you want. But when you feel called, when you feel that it's time to leave, you take what you've been given and you walk out reflecting on what God has said and what your next steps are. The labyrinth has been a powerful spiritual practice in my life. And it all started at that first retreat, where I entered the labyrinth asking, is the United Church of Canada the right place for me? Because other churches I had checked out didn't feel right. Sitting in the center, overlooking a lake on a grassy knoll, deep in my heart, I felt this powerful confirmation that I was where I was meant to be. As I walked out, the question I walked with, the one I kept asking, was now what? And deep in my heart echoed these words, just keep walking. Walking by faith used to mean for me those trust walks. Maybe you've had to do those in team building activities. You know, the ones where you're paired off with somebody and then you're blindfolded? And you have to trust that the person behind you won't let you fall downstairs or bump into door frames. Have you had that experience? Anyone? Pretty scary. Yeah. Within the Christian context, walking by faith is not about being blind and stumbling around in the dark and just trusting that maybe you won't fall. Trusting that because you're following Jesus, bad things won't happen. Walking by faith within a Christian context is deeper and more profound than that. Walking by faith is living your life and setting your expectations in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is seeing your story as linked to that of Christ and responding in the ways that he would. It's about knowing that grand story that you are part of. And because you know the story, you know what God has done. You know how God has shown up. walking by faith is knowing that you are a child of God too, and God will show up. For 96 years, the United Church of Canada has tried to walk by faith. We have not always got it right. And some of the ways that we slipped, it's really important we never forget. Yet overall, in its 96 years, the United Church as a whole has sought to be faithful to the gospel of love in so many ways. And while we lament the ways that we have stumbled, the times that we've not listened to God's call, those ways that we have deserve celebration. Now, I want to try something that we have never done here before and may totally fail, because that's part of walking by faith. Do you have a cell phone with you today? Does anybody out there have a cell phone? If you do, I want you to pull it out. Yay, I see a few hands. Now, for those of you who don't have cell phones, you have another option. But if you have a cell phone, I want you to open it up. And for anybody listening to this on a pre-recording, please remember that I don't silence my phone, so do not do this late at night. I want you to take out your phone and go to your text message. Are you there? Let's see how long it takes me, because it should take you about that long too. I want you to create a new message. In the recipient, I want you to type 506-259-7602. 259-7602. I then want you, in the body of that message, to put one of the things that you celebrate about the United Church of Canada. Nothing too risky today. And send it to me. Now, here's the thing. I probably won't know who you are, because I have very few members of our congregation actually listed in my phone. But I want to know, what are the things that you celebrate about the United Church of Canada? What are you proud of? For those of you who are like, I don't remember that number again, 259-7602. Now, for you who are sitting in this room, who didn't bring your cell phones, like good people who have been trained not to bring cell phones to church services and to silence them when you're here, I'm going to encourage you to take a second to think about that. And then to call out something that you are proud of. Now, I am prepared with a list of things in case people don't respond, but I really hope that there's something that you want to celebrate about this United Church of ours. We've had 96 years. That's a lot of time. Whew. All right, we have our first text message come in. And that person wants to celebrate a safe place for LGBTQTS+ people, even though there's still work to do, that we've created a safe space for that. So let's celebrate that. Anyone else? Yeah. The organ? The organist in the choir. So the ways that we've celebrated music throughout the years. Excellent. And we've had more than two hymn books in my lifetime, and many more before, joint ventures, a rich history of music that has been sung and performed by these wonderful people. Let's celebrate that. Anyone else? Welcoming to, sorry?
Welcome to the, welcome
our push to be more culturally diverse and aware and welcoming. In fact, just this last week, we as a church had done some work and reaffirmed the church's, wider church's call to be intercultural and to continue to work to be anti-racist. That is a call from our national church for all of us to do as we seek to be followers of Christ who welcomed everyone. So let's celebrate that. I'm going to give you one more chance. Anyone out there burning thoughts?
That anyone can participate in communion.
That anyone can participate in communion. That was a huge shift, yeah. All right. So a couple others that I flagged, unless somebody wants to really yell one out. We ordained our first woman in 1936. Between 1988 and 1990, we had our first apology for denying Native spirituality and the harm that it caused. We apologized to residential school survivors. We committed to the Healing Fund. We said that anybody can be eligible to be members of the United Church, and thus anybody can be members of clergy, barring passing criminal record checks. Choir members. The work with Truth and Reconciliation projects. And there were some text messages about the apologizing to residential schools. And we celebrated, and we're one of the first churches to celebrate gay marriage. So these messages, these ways that we have been the church, those ways that we have followed Christ, even when it's meant changing our path, even when it means doing a little loop and seeing things in a different way, these great achievements of following and walking faith didn't just happen. We didn't wake up one day and decide, we should be opening to the GLBT plus community. We should apologize for the ways that we tried to oppress others. They didn't happen just out of nowhere. They happened because as a church, we studied the Bible. We discussed and debated amongst ourselves in fellowship groups. We prayed. We prayed. And these things all led and supported the steps we take and have taken to be a faithful church. Grounded in them, we were assured that moving forward was not of our own ideas or grandeur or choice, but they were rooted in our choice to follow, to give of ourselves, to be like the one who came before us. In short, our Bible studies, our discussions, our prayers ensured, or at least confirmed, that we are walking by faith. This last year and a bit has been hard for many reasons. We haven't been able to gather in the ways that we normally would. We haven't been able to see each other regularly. For some of us, faith has been one of the things that have kept us going and kept us walking and kept us moving. The question I have for all of us, for you, as I return from mat leave, and one that I hope to ask all of you in the next few months, is how has the pandemic strengthened or eroded your faith? Have you been walking with blind faith or robust faith? Where are the cracks? Where are they starting to show? And what seeds that were planted in good times have started to sprout? Our gospel, from the Gospel of Mark, talked about the kingdom of God being like somebody scattering seeds. And then by the earth they grew. The grain ripened, and it was harvested. Times like the time we are living in now is one of the times where those seeds often start to sprout. Where we find strength that we didn't know we had, when we find new ways forward, where we stop and listen. Walking by faith. We're at a point in our journey that maybe we're at the center of the labyrinth. A time to listen and discern and prepare to walk out. Just this week, there was an email circulated here in Fredericton inviting the churches into discussion about how in this next year do we go forward in ministry? Because of the 6 pulpits in our city and close area, 3 are currently empty. No called or appointed minister. Now is a time for us to think about what does it mean for us to walk faithfully into the future? What opportunities are laid before us that we can grasp to do things together? What lessons from this anniversary of the church can we move forward and live into? May God continue to bless this congregation as part of the United Church of Canada. May the United Church of Canada in Fredericton continue to flourish and grow. And may we witness for another 96 years and beyond to the love of Christ in our midst. Amen. Let us join in...